We've been talking about how to prosper in adversity. You look at the world around us, how many of you would raise your hand and say, I think we have a little adversity going on? But part of the problem is that when we talk about prosperity, the first thing everybody thinks of is money. Prosperity is way more than money. Prosperity is having everything that you need to fulfill God's assignment for your life. That may be money, it may be wisdom, it may be education. You may need to do things that you never thought you'd do, and you need to learn how. It may be having a word in season, being able to tap into the wisdom of God. All of those things fall under the heading of prosperity when we're talking about it. So don't get caught up in the financial side of this. It's included, but we're not limited to that. Amen? So we started out in the first session, and we talked about the fact that when there was adversity, there was darkness, emptiness, lifeless, shapeless earth. What did God do? He spoke. He spoke commandingly. He spoke boldly. And the first thing he said is, "Light be." And immediately, instantly, there was light. As a young Christian, I read that and I looked at it and I went, wait a minute, where'd the light come from? Because there's no sun, there's no moon, there's no stars. What's the source of this light? It wasn't until later when I read Revelation and it talked about the New Jerusalem and said it had no need of the sun because the Lamb is its light. When he said, light be, he put himself in that situation and brought light to it. You want light in your dark situation, get God involved. Speak what God says to your situation. In the second session, we talked about the fact that we need to do whatever He says to do. Just do it. We looked at the wedding feast of Cana. And here was a situation where Jesus was put in a place of adversity, not by something that was His responsibility, not by something that was His own doing, but by the pressure of being someplace where there was a need, and they looked at Him and said, what are you going to do about it? Well, His mother looked at Him. How many of you had good Jewish mothers? My mother was one of the best Jewish mothers. Her mother was one of the best Jewish mothers. And I've often wondered how you do that when you're not even Jewish. And His mother came and said, hey, I need you to take care of this. And He did. And He did it supernaturally. We are not going to deal with the adversity that's around us by natural means and be successful. We must be the church. And we were meant to be supernatural. From the beginning, we were created to be supernatural beings. We were created to think like God and to act like God. It's about time that we rose up and began to do just that. Are you saying we're a bunch of little gods? I'm telling you just what the Bible says. You were created to think like God and to act like God. Now, if you think like God and you act like God, people are going to look at you and go, there's something different about you. And Jesus looked at the situation and He did what His Father told Him to do, and Mary said it best when she spoke it to the servants, whatever He says to you, do it. Do it. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Whatever He says to you, just do it. Amen? So then in the third session, we looked at it, and in the face of barrenness, in the face of lack, He says, sow. Now, sowing is not just putting something in the plate. Sowing is giving your gift, and whether you're giving it in church or you're giving it out in the community or God just puts somebody on your heart and you're giving to someone individually, the fact of the matter is you do your giving by faith. You attach faith to that gift. Without faith, it's sin. Everybody say amen, oh me, or ouch. We can be bucket plunkers, but in reality, we're being sinners if we are. He told us to do what we do by faith. And I'd much rather you hang on to it till you can be in faith than give it and be in sin. Come on. We sow in faith believing because we know what the Word says, that he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully, and he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. You get to choose which one of those you're going to be. And I can tell you right now, if you're giving without faith, you're over here in the yuck category. Just poke the person next to you and tell them, I don't want to be in the yuck category. Last week we talked about the fact that there was this fellow by the name of Isaac, and in the midst of famine, he did something that nobody else was doing. He dug wells. In the face of adversity, he dug wells. And the first wells that he dug were the wells of legacy, where he went back and looked what God had done in the past. And he renewed the commitment to that life-giving, gospel-spreading dig-in so that even his enemies were blessed. And he kept digging wells until he found the place where there was no longer any opposition. He had caused so much blessing that they just left him alone. The Bible says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. How would you like the bill collectors call you and say, excuse me, but can I do something for you? That sounds kind of outlandish, but that's really kind of what we're looking at there. Abimelech, who was the king, who was the enemy chief, came to Isaac, came to where Isaac was, and said, let's be allies. I can see that the God of heaven is on your side. I want to be on your side. Dig the wells. And he didn't stop digging wells when he stopped getting opposition. He kept on investing. He kept on expanding. He kept on being a blessing. Amen? So now we're up to session number 5. Just poke the person next to you and say, focus. Focus. Focus on the source of your salvation, not on the symptoms of your circumstance. Say it again. Focus on the source of your salvation, not on the symptoms of your circumstance. Well, I got this bill. Yeah, that's a symptom. You know how I know? Because that can be changed. Well, I got this doctor's report. Yeah, I know. And doctors are famous for dealing with symptoms. Very rarely do they deal with the source of the problem. And I'm not saying don't go to doctors. That's not what I'm saying at all. Doctors have benefit that they bring. But I'm going to tell you right now that if you're going to the doctor and you're not in faith, you're going to miss something. And they're going to miss something. Don't be in faith because you have to be. Get in faith because you want to be. Focus on the source of your salvation and not on the symptoms of your circumstance. Adversity comes in many storms, and probably the best picture of adversity is a storm. You know, we just went down to the Outer Banks, and right before we went, the hurricane's coming, Hurricane Ian, and they're talking all about the death and destruction, and people canceling their trips, and we're just headed on down. It was one of the nicest drives because there was hardly any traffic. And we got down there, and the day we got down there was pretty nice, and then the next day, it got turbulent. And there was no fishing, and there was no crabbing, and there was no going out. I mean, a small craft advisory, and it was a storm. When you're in the middle of it, that storm wants your full attention. That storm will put a demand on you. You need to know how to respond in the storm. So let's turn over in the gospel to Matthew chapter 14, a story that I know you know, but I think it pictures what we're talking about here just perfectly. Matthew chapter 14, beginning of verse 22, I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, "Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side." Everybody say, forced. He forced them into the boat. He didn't give them an option. Okay? In the meantime, he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, probably 3 to 5 miles out, they estimate, being tossed by the waves, and the wind was contrary. They were in the middle of adversity. Amen? Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer in the middle of your adversity. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you walking on the water." And of course he said, "Come." Because what else could he say? Except he could have said, "Peter, you're a dunderhead. Don't you know you can't walk on water?" But what would that have done? That would have called into question, how are you walking on the water? Peter asked him a question. When we pray, we should expect an answer to our questions. Amen? Sometimes we may not like the answer, but we should get an answer. We shouldn't have to wonder, what in the world do I do now? Peter said, "If that's you, bid me come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come on." And when Peter came down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." Focus on the source of your salvation, not on the symptoms of your circumstance. Don't miss the obvious of what's in here. Okay? When Jesus spoke to Peter and said, "Come," Jesus was walking on the water. Peter was walking on the Word. Peter was a professional fisherman. He had sense enough to know you don't get out of the boat and walk on the water. Come on. The fact that he got out of the boat said that there was faith involved. But in the midst of the storm, he lost his focus. And instead of focusing on Jesus, he let the distraction of the storm begin to affect him. And in the distraction of the storm, he then began to sink. Everybody say, "began to sink." Something that I also want to bring to your attention is he was within arm's reach of Jesus. How often are we that close to the manifestation of the answer that we've been promised, and we miss out because we let the circumstance distract us from receiving it? The storm was raging when Peter got out of the boat. It didn't change as he walked toward Jesus. What changed was Peter's focus. He took his eyes off the source of his salvation. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, in the good news says, "Let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from beginning to end." Fix your eyes on Jesus. We had Ed Barnes in to preach in our church in New York, and he talked about fixing your eyes on Jesus. He said, fixing your eyes. You know what that is, right? And I don't even remember who was sitting up front. Pat? But anyhow, when he talked about fixing your eyes on Jesus, you know how that is, right?
You're going to make me cross-eyed.
I mean, you're right there. You can't see anything else. You won't see anything else. You are committed to that image alone. Fixing your eyes on Jesus. Well, why would I want to do that? Because Jesus is the source of your salvation. He never changes. Every circumstance around you will change. And most of it, you can change by being in faith and doing what He tells you. Peter comes to him, another Peter story. You know, thank God we have Peter in the Bible. He gives us so many illustrations. Peter comes to him, and the pressure of finances, it's tax time. And he comes and says, Jesus, my taxes are due. I don't have any money. And Jesus says, not a problem. Go fishing. First fish you pull out. Not the second fish, not the third fish, not the fifth fish. The first fish you pull out in his mouth will be enough money to pay my taxes and yours. Lord, you can send me fishing anytime. I mean, yeah, you got a guy who is a professional fisherman and you tell him to go fishing, do you think he goes, oh man, I don't know what I'm going to do? I think it's more a case of, I got my tackle right here, I'll be right back. The circumstance was changed not because of anything except that Peter responded to what Jesus told him to do. He did what Jesus told him to do, and as a result, he received exactly what he needed and more than enough. Amen? That's prosperity. Fix your eyes on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from beginning to end. Focus on the source of your salvation, not on the symptoms of your circumstance. Paraphrase version of the first three verses in chapter 12 of Hebrews says it this way. Now use your eyes of faith. Look around and see the crowd of past winners in the stands cheering you on. Yeah. You're up. It's your turn to run the race of faith. And they want you to win. Practice is over. It's time to strip off the training weights and the sweatsuit and get off the treadmill of sin and religion and run the real race, the race of faith. Now here's your instructions. Run. Run with all your heart, nothing held back. Like Jesus, focus on the goal, the presence of the Father. Follow His example, knowing that He got you started, and He will run with you all the way to the finish line. Amen? When I was running track, one of the things that we used to do in practice is we would take the guy who was the fastest, and we at that time had the state champion. And the coach would tell him, set the pace. Everybody, we didn't send the slow guy out to set the pace. We sent the state champion out to set the pace. By the first turn, I felt like I was outclassed. By the second turn, I was wondering if I would make a full lap before he passed me. Don't go by your ability. Go by the one that we're following. What's he capable of? He's the creator of the universe. What's he not capable of? I can tell you what he's not capable of. He's not capable of lying. And if he said it, he'll do it.
Right. Hallelujah.
Like Jesus, focus on the goal, the presence of the Father. Psalm 27, the psalmist is in a dialogue with God. He says, "When you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said to you, 'Your face, Lord, I will seek.' Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me or forsake me, O God of my salvation. For when my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries. For false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Let me say that again. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. In the midst of adversity, the psalmist turns to his source of help. He focuses on the source of his salvation. And he says, here's my circumstance. Here are the things that I'm facing. But this I know, you won't forsake me. You won't give me up. You won't walk away. You won't abandon me. I know that I'm coming through to victory because I'm with you. Just a couple of weeks, we're going to have an election, and it may be the most important election in my lifetime.
Yeah.
What if it doesn't go our way? You know what? I don't care which way it goes. God's not going to change. I know what I'm believing. I know what I'm believing for. But the election doesn't determine my destiny. The election doesn't determine my lifestyle. It doesn't determine my level of living. Well, what about the current inflation? My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. As Billy Graham said, if you think that's a problem, tell God, and He'll go clean the streets of the New Jerusalem and bring you the debris. Come on. I mean, the streets are paved with gold. The walls are built out of a pearl. The gates are out of a pearl. The walls are made out of jasper. I don't think there's anything poor about the New Jerusalem. So sweep the streets, bring me the dust. What are you worried about? Do you trust Him or don't you?
Yeah.
Do you know that God has used unbelieving sinners to accomplish His will before? There was this fellow named Darius. You might remember him. Cyrus. Come on. God will do what God's going to do, and He will humiliate the devil in the process. The Lord will take care of me. That's what He said. He will take care of me. In the adversity of a broken relationship, Mom and Dad have divorced me. They didn't want me anymore. They told me I'm not even allowed to come to their house. What are you going to do for me, God? I'm not going to quit on you. I'm not going to divorce you. When they divorce me, you pull me into an embrace. When they hate me, you love me. That's our God. And we, the church, are supposed to act just like Him. Come on.
Yeah, yeah.
See, when we have revelation, we have something we can put our hand to, something we can actually act on, something we can actually do. And we can do things, not because we're trying to earn points with God. Look at the person next to you and say, you can't earn enough points. But He's already stacked the deck in your favor. When He gave Jesus, He made us winners. As a matter of fact, the Bible says we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. There's nothing that can separate us from His love. What you whining about? Now, for those of us who have been practiced whiners, I'm raising my hand because that's me. I know how to whine. I made a habit of it as a kid, and it's a hard habit to break. It doesn't change God. And God does not respond to whining. The Bible says when we pray in accordance with His will, He hears us. When we do not pray in accordance with His will, He just ignores us. Come on. So let's pray in accordance with His will. Well, what's His will? Well, you know what His Word says? It says He's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Well, what pertains to life? Well, what do you need? Need gas in the car? Need a job to put food on the table, pay the electric bill? Need help with fuel bill? He has given us, everybody say, everything that pertains to life and godliness. So how do I get it from the realm of faith, the invisible realm, into my reality? By faith, I pull it.
Yeah.
By faith, I receive it. By faith, I just come before God and go, this is what you promised. I can't make it happen. It's all up to you. I'm doing my part. I believe you. I believe you. I believe you. And He comes through. Amen? In the face of adversity, He shows up. And He does what we need. I would have lost heart, except that I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Goodness. How many of you want to see the goodness of God?
Holy.
The goodness of God. That word goodness means beauty, joy, goodness, and prosperity. When we say prosperity, you know the word. It's the shalom of God. Nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing defective, nothing lacking, nothing wanting, perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You want that?
Yeah.
What do we have to do? Well, you have to do what He says and focus on the source of your salvation and not the symptoms of your circumstance. Yeah. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 33, you know what, in Matthew chapter 6, it talks about the things that we need, clothes and food and money to pay the bills and those kind of things. And He says, what are you worried about all that? He said, look around you at creation. How many of you have seen the birds out there? How many of you know they don't go to the grocery store? God takes care of them. I mean, I saw a bird the other day, and I thought, man, that is beautiful. Just a beautiful duck. Just the coloring and everything, just wow. And He said, I did that. Not prideful I did that. A reminder, I did that. Because if he can do that for a duck, what would he do for me?
Oh, thank you, Lord.
God wants us to experience the fullness of his promise. He wants us to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he's looking out for us. He wants us to see him as the source of our salvation and to act accordingly. I'm going to the rock. How many of you sung that? Take me to the rock. Right? That rock is what I anchor to. That rock isn't going anywhere. That rock isn't going to change. That rock is somebody I can depend on no matter what the circumstance. That rock will see me through to victory. Ephesians 4, verse 14 says, he is our peace. He is our shalom. He is. You want prosperity? Get Jesus. You don't feel like you're walking in prosperity? Get more Jesus.
Yeah.
Pull into the presence. Because in his presence, the Bible says there is fullness of joy. In his presence, where the fullness of joy is strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In his presence, I find everything that I need. Will you pull into his presence? Because you know what happens with most of us? Trouble starts to rise. Adversity starts to come. And we start trying to figure out, how am I going to fix this? Come on. Right? Well, you know, God helps those who help themselves. Give me Bible for that. Show me one scripture that says that. It's not in there. Those who trust in the Lord shall be saved.
Hallelujah.
Now, there will be something to do, because whatever he says to you, you're going to do it. But don't do until you know what he says. Like Lynn said this morning, don't be in a hurry. Just because the pressure's there doesn't mean you have to respond to it. Well, they're going to turn off my electric. Do you trust him or don't you? Come on. Well, the doctor said, do you trust him or don't you? And again, I'm not telling you not to do things. We ought to pay our bills. Plain and simple. That's a good testimony comes when you are faithful to pay your bills. But when you've got more month than money, then you're going to have to figure out how to tap in to resources that are not present and pull them to you by faith. The Bible says, given it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men heap into your bosom. God's got somebody assigned to your case, and they don't even know it until he pokes them and says, okay, they're in faith, let's go. And sometimes they never get poked because we don't get in faith. Ouch. And I can say ouch probably in triplicate because I've been there I don't know how many times. But I found out something. If you'll get in faith, God moves. God will move heaven and earth to get something to you. There have been people who walked up to me and handed me checks and gone, I'm not sure why I'm giving you this, but God told me this is what I'm supposed to do. I had somebody the other day walked up and handed me a check and said, happy birthday. I said, it's not my birthday. She said, well, the Lord told me to give you this, so here. Had no idea anything that was going on. But it met a need. I told Sean, I said, they need to move more often. They asked me to help with it, with the moving. And I said, yes, and within minutes, had three home inspection jobs. Said something to Larry about, well, you know, I got these three jobs, I got to get them done. And by the time he called me back, I had two more. I said, Lord, I'm believing for one a week. I've got five. Not so that I can build my kingdom, but so that I can build His kingdom. And I found out that by hanging out with Him, I get rich. And I'm not talking about money. Although money is included as part of that. But that's not where my rich is measured. Bank account numbers change. He doesn't. He is my riches. He is my inheritance. He is the one who is my source of life and salvation. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Amen? So as we look at the things that are going on in the world and we see the mess, somebody said the other day, never been this bad before. I said, you haven't lived that long. It's been worse. Believe it or not, it's been worse than it is. Oh my, yes. Oh my, it's been worse. Not in our lifetime. Not my lifetime. I'm not as old as you, Steve, so. You know, my parents were born in the Great Depression. I mean, that was hard times. That was bad times. You know, people who lived in the Dust Bowl, what they went through. I mean, yeah, it's been worse than it is. We forget sometimes how bad it can be. That's why I go on missions trips, to be reminded of what it can be. You know, I think I've told you I was in Haiti, and in Haiti the median income, so average income in Haiti was $148 a year. It doesn't get you a nice dinner anywhere. And that's all they had. Went to Africa, and literally people were eating dirt just so they had something in their stomach. Yeah, it can be a whole lot worse. You're in Ukraine right now, you know it can be a whole lot worse. Wintertime's coming. Russians are cutting off the power. Yeah, it can get a whole lot worse. But you know what doesn't change? I love the book, Like a Mighty Wind. Mel Tari shares in there about the outpouring that took place in Indonesia. And I love the stories that are in there. But I love the thing at the end where they said, you know, why did this happen? And he said, because we didn't know enough. We didn't know enough not to believe the Word of God. We just took God at His Word. God said it, and we believed it. That's us. That's who we're supposed to be. We're supposed to think like God and act like God. When God saw the dark, empty, lifeless, shapeless void that we call earth, He didn't throw His hands in the air. He didn't wring His hands. He didn't whine and cry. He looked at it and went, "Light be." And He began speaking one thing after another until He got to the place where He added man to the mix. And when He added man to the mix, He went, "Now that is very good." All of this was designed with man in mind. And Jesus came along and said, this is the way it's supposed to work. And He showed us. How many of you saw any place where Jesus was arrested by tax collectors? Because He paid His taxes, didn't He? Or that he was thrown in jail by bill collectors. No, he paid his bills. Or that he was out begging in the streets because he didn't have enough money for food. No, as a matter of fact, he was given to the beggars in the streets because he had more than enough money. Jesus said, let me show you how it's supposed to work. And anointed with the Holy Ghost in power, he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil because the Lord was with him. So now comes the harder question. What are you doing? What are you doing? You go to Walmart and run in, get your stuff run out, and miss the opportunities that God's put there? You go to Giant Eagle and you're so focused on whether or not you have that coupon or not that you miss the fact that there's somebody around you who could be blessed? Are you obeying the Holy Ghost? Pull up to a gas station. Ann Kimmel, I always thought she's a little fruity until I got to meet her and heard her story firsthand. She's at a gas station and a guy pulled up on the other side and God prompted her to witness to him. And she walked up to him and said, I don't know if you know it or not, but Jesus loves you and he asked me to sing you this little song. And right there at the gas pump, this reminds me of Rebecca Forgy. Just sang him this little song. God loves you, and I love you, and that's the way it should be. And I went, man, I don't know if I have that kind of boldness. She did. And he got saved.
Hallelujah.
What if we just obeyed God? How great would the increase of his kingdom be? Amen? When you're facing adversity and you're in the middle of the storm, anybody ever been there? And it's raging. I mean, the storm is raging. And you are sure you're going to sink. Do what he tells you to do. And do it all the way to the end. Focus on the source of your salvation, not on the symptoms of your circumstance. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word, and your word comes to give us life. Your word comes to give us peace. Your word comes to give us enlightenment. Your word comes, and with it comes everything that you are, because you are the word. Now, Father, take this word, make it real to us. Use it to cause us to rise to what you called us to be. For your honor and your glory, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.